ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 46. Putendriya Manolingan Dehan Uchavachandibu Bajat Utsrijate Hyanyas Tach Chapi Svena Tejasa Putendriyamanolingan Dehan Uchavachandibu Bajat Yutsrijati Yanyas Tach Chapi Svena Tejasa Putendriyamanolingan Dehan Uchavachandibu Bhajati Utsrijati Yanyas Tachchapi Svena Tejasa. Vaishnavis. Bhuta, by the five material elements. Indriya, the ten senses. Mana, and the mind. Lingan, characterized. Dehan, gross material bodies. Ucha avachan, high class and low class. Vibhu, the individual soul, which is the lord of the body and senses. Bhajati, achieves. Utsrijati, gives up. He, indeed. Anya, being different. Tat, that. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Svena, by his own. Tejasa, power of advanced knowledge. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The five material elements, the ten senses, and the mind all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. Okay. Purport. The conditioned soul has knowledge, and if he wants to fully utilize the gross, actually, everybody, you got to listen to this translation of purport kind of carefully, because it's actually, you got to really think about it a little bit. It's not like, if you think about that translation, it's not clear just hearing it when you first hear it like that. You got to think about it. I'll read the purport and then I'll read the translation again. The conditioned soul has knowledge, and if he wants to fully utilize the gross and subtle bodies for his real advancement in life, he can do so. It is therefore said here that by his high intelligence, Svena Tejasa, by the superior power of superior knowledge achieved from the right source, the spiritual master or acharya, he can give up his conditioned life in a material body and return home back to Godhead. However, if he wants to keep himself in the darkness of this material world, he can do so. The Lord confirms this as follows in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrin yanti pratir bhutaha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti mad yaji no pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. End quote. The human form of body is valuable. One can use this body to go to higher planetary systems, to Pitriloka, or he can remain in this lower planetary system. Pitriloka is the planetary system of the ancestors. Or he can remain in this lower planetary system. But if one tries, he can also return home back to Godhead. This prowess is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supersoul. Therefore, the Lord says, Matsak Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha, from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If one wants to receive real knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can become free from bondage to repeated acceptance of material bodies. If one takes to the devotional service of the Lord and surrenders unto him, the Lord is prepared to give one direction by which to return home, back to Godhead. But if one foolishly wants to keep himself in darkness, he can continue in a life of material existence. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacharya Shatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunachananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaurava Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so I'll read this translation again. The five material elements, the 10 senses and the mind, all combine to form various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. Okay, that's nothing new. We've heard that before. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his own personal prowess. Now that's an idea that is not, you don't hear as often as this idea, okay? This is the standard understanding, at least that, you know, we're our working understanding, which is this. This is a verse from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Kapila Deva is speaking to his mother Devahuti. He says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Karmana Daiva Netrena, Jantur Deho Papadjate, Striya Pravishta Uraram, Pumsa Reta Karnashraya. Personality of God had said, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and according to the result of his work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter into the womb of a woman through the particle of male semen to assume a particular type of body. So the idea, you know, and this is what I'm always used to thinking of, that we don't have a lot of choice in the matter. You know, it's just like something, you're just forced to go from one body to another. You're in the body for a particular amount of time. When that time's up, okay, on to the next body. And like it or not, you know, prowess or no prowess, like it or not, you're moved onto your next body, whether it's from the human form to another human form, a human form to an animal form to human form, whatever. You don't have much choice in the matter. You're just moved. But here it's presenting this idea that it says here the living entity comes in contact with these material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. So, you know, when I read that, I immediately thought to myself, well, what does personal prowess have to do with it? You know, what's being meant here? Anyway, it goes on. It says this strength can be perceived by a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. Okay, so, you know, I had to think about this a bit. Everybody sees what I'm getting at here. You know, it's sort of like you get the impression that it's saying that, well, the living entity has some strength or some power to choose, when he's giving up that body and when he's not, and which kind of body he wants. And so it's a little bit not unclear, but you have to think about it a bit. And this is what I came up with. What I understood this verse is not speaking about is something like what Bhishmadev had. You know, Bhishmadev had this benediction that he could die at will. And he wouldn't die unless he wanted to die. That's kind of like a prowess. You know, he received that benediction. He can only die when he wants to die. And sometimes we see these pictures of the yogis. You know, there's that picture of the yogi in the Bhagavad Gita where he's got the life air or the soul shooting out of the top of his head. That's kind of also like a prowess. You know, it's like at will, he's boop, and he's shooting out to some other planet or some other whatever part of the universe. But I don't think that's what's being referred to here. As the, you know, when Prabhupada's, because actually Prabhupada even says in his purport, he says, Svena Tejasa, and in the purport that's referred to is by his own power of advanced knowledge. You know, there's that expression in the material world, knowledge is power. That's what I think is being referred to here, that's the prowess or the power that's being referred to in this verse, that the living entity has free will. And when you take that free will, it's like when you do a chemistry experiment, something like that. You take, I can't think of an example, but, you know, such and such substance, and you combine the two, and then something happens. See, so the free will combined with knowledge as being mentioned here in the purport, coming from the spiritual master, the acharya, is power. That's real. You know, that expression, knowledge is power. That's like in the material world. Stop laughing, Savas. I see you. No, just kidding. knowledge is power. That really applies when you come to devotional service, because when you mix the knowledge that you receive from the acharya and the spiritual master with the with free will, you know, if the free will, the opportunity to take advantage of that, then something really significant can happen, which is that you can get out of this whole material world. You get free from the cycle of birth and death. You go back to Godhead. You see? So I think that's what's being referred to here. You know, this really important thing about Prabhupada, and as we, if you listen to that purport carefully, basically in the whole purport, Prabhupada's talking about free will. You know, how as a result of using your free will, so many different things can happen. He quotes that verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva, how's it go? Yanti deva vrta devan pitran yanti patir vataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajinopi mam. That if you worship the demigods, you go to the planets of the demigods. If you worship the ancestors, you go to the planets of the ancestors, pitri loka, that's referred to. Ghosts and spirits, you go to the way the ghosts and spirits live. And if you worship Krishna, if you worship me, you come to me. See? So in other words, it all depends how you use your free will. You know, if you use your free will in a particular way, you get a particular result. If you use your free will in another way, you get another result. See? Like that. And so that's the that's kind of like the advantage of the human. That's what the human form. It's something that the human form of life offers us. This, you know, the opportunity to determine, have some influence in what happens to us. I've thought of this analogy once of the human form of life. It's like when you're driving in your car and you come to a roundabout. They don't have a lot of them. They have them here in the United States. I remember a lot of them in Australia and New Zealand. Roundabouts, you're coming in there and you can veer off to the right Or you can keep going around halfway and just go keep going straight. Or you can go around three quarters of the way and go off to the left. Or you can go right around if you want to. If you're lost and you need, or whatever, you can just go right around and go back the way you came. See, so in a human form of life is like that, in the sense that you have full freedom. You have every. It's all laid out on the table there. You can go to the right, so to speak, and elevate. You know, let's say that's the equivalent of elevating yourself to the heavenly planets, or you could go three quarters of the way around, and you could go down to the lower species of life. So that's the equivalent of that. Or you can go all the way around and go back the way you came. That's like going down, you know, to wherever. Or you can go straight forward and make progress towards going back home, back to Godhead. All those options are there in the human form of life. Okay, but when I say human form of life, I think to properly understand, human form of life means this body, you know, two arms, two legs, two eyes, the whole works, okay? But to make the whole thing complete, you have to be in contact with the knowledge from the spiritual master or the acharya. If a person with two arms, two legs, you know, a creature with two arms, two legs, two ears, you know, looking like so-called human, does not come in contact with the knowledge from the spiritual master or the acharya, then according to, I think it's Lochan Das Thakur, and Prabhupada, you know, mentioned this on other occasions, it's referred to as dvipadapasu, two-legged animal. You're not really a full human being. You know, how are you going to take advantage? In the human form of life, you come in contact with this knowledge, how are you going to go to the planets of the demigods? How are you going to go to the planets of the ghosts? You don't even know what they are. You see, how are you going to go to the planets of the Pitris? You don't know about that. You don't know about the process for going there, or to speak of going back home, back to Godhead. See, so in other words, this verse, this translation of purport best applies to devotees, because, you know, aspiring devotees, we have this information, you know, or at least we're that fortunate. We have the information, you know, the basic philosophy. We're not the body, we're spirit, soul, eternal service of Krishna, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. See? So we have the, you know, the basic information, so we could take advantage of it. And maybe it's a not so good a fit with, say, people who are just familiar with Vedic cultures. People are born in India and, like, you know, familiar with, like, quote-unquote Hinduism. But certainly the best fit is devotees. But as I mentioned, you know, the thing is that people who don't have this knowledge, they're not really, you know, they're not being described here so much in this, best of my understanding, in this translation of purport, because, as I said, without having the knowledge from the spiritual master, the acharya, how are they going to, you know, they're stuck. They're almost like animals. Maybe, you know, they can choose between performing a pious activity and an impious activity. Animals are just totally governed by their instinctual drives. There's zero free will, correct? In the animal form of life, zero free will. And those human beings, I can't think of another, the dvipadapasus who haven't come in contact with this knowledge, their free will, it's almost negligible, really. It's not like, if they are making choices, you know, at all, expressing some free will at all, it's not anything that's going to enable them to experience some significant benefit in their life, you know, without this knowledge. See, so everybody, does that make kind of clear? So anyway, so which brings us to the point that, that's where we come in the picture. See, we are, you know, aspiring devotees, and some of you out there are more than just aspiring devotees. You're devotees, but so it's the duty of both those categories of devotees to try to do everything they possibly can to, you know, get out there and give these people, potential people, we'll call them potential human beings, the opportunity to come in contact with this knowledge. Because without coming in contact with this knowledge, their chance to experience the full potential of human life is missed. They've missed it. What are they taking? It's like having a human body and not having the chance to come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement. The knowledge that's being made available by the Krishna consciousness movement is almost more of a detriment than it is a benefit. Because, you know, look logically, say you get a human body and you don't come in contact with the Krishna conscious movement. What are you going to do? Now, you live in now, okay? In one of like America or any country, pretty much any country around the world, you got a human body, so-called, right? And you don't come in contact with the Krishna conscious movement. You're just going to be engaging in all sorts of sinful activities. Why? Because that's what's going on out there. You know, the atmosphere is surcharged with sinful activity. You're going to be engaging in illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. So therefore, what's going to be your future? Your future is that you're going to go, you know, how's it go? Aloga chanti tamasa. You're going down. You know, Prabhupada says this in different places. You're going down. You got to be. You're engaging in so many sinful activities, right? So the reaction for that is you got to be going down into the lowest species of life. If not like, you know, express train style, certainly you're on the local train going in that direction. You see, so really it's almost like somebody who gets a human body and doesn't get a chance to come in contact with the Krishna conscious movement, it's almost like, you know, as I said, it's I won't say a curse, but well, it's bad. It's not good, you know, because you're going down into, you know, lower than the human form of life. Whereas, you know, people who come in contact with the Krishna conscious movement, at least they got a chance. You know, if somebody meets a devotee, if somebody comes in contact with this, with what we have to offer, at least they have a chance. Now, maybe they might not take great advantage of that chance. You know, in other words, maybe they won't take full advantage of that chance and, you know, take the knowledge seriously and start really, you know, trying to understand it and trying to put it into practice in their life and actually try to become devotees. Maybe they won't do that, which is a shame, you know, because they're missing out. But at least if they come in contact and they take a little bit, you know, like they take a book from a devotee or they come to the temple and take prasadam or they chant with the Harinam party or something, you know, they appreciate what the Krishna conscious movement has to offer in some way, shape, or form, they got a pretty good chance to take at least get a human body in their next lifetime. Right? And this endeavor, there's no loss of diminution and even a little bit of advancement. So if they make a little bit of advancement by, you know, in one of those ways or anyway, you know, that protects them from the most dangerous type of fear, which Prabhupada explains is going down into the lower species after having attained the human form of life, which, by the way, is a very difficult thing to attain. You know, you only get the human form of life after like a lot of time in lower species of life. I think I've heard Prabhupada say millions and millions of years. You know, so anyways, it's a real, that's why you would say Prabhupada sometimes referred to it as a great tragedy, you know, if somebody gets the human form of life and isn't able to do anything with it at all. So anyways, so as I said, that's where we come into the picture. Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction. Yade deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amada agyaya guruhana tare desh. He gave his instructions to all the devotees. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. You know, and in this way, become a spiritual master and deliver everybody. So Lord Chaitanya wanted everybody to do that. That's like the underlying program of the Krishna conscious movement. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, you know, and there's like basically if you think about what that instruction, the mood behind it is Lord Chaitanya is basically saying, come on. Let's get everybody in on this. You know, wherever you go, whoever you meet, we want everybody. Let's give everybody the chance if we possibly can. Or let's at least try for that. You see? So that's us. That's us. That's where we come into the picture. That, you know, that's our service. That's we should have that mood that whatever we're doing, you know, we're doing this to try to help the Krishna conscious movement, which is a movement to try to give everybody a chance to come in contact with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And that's what Prabhupada was trying to do. Prabhupada was tried his best. I mean, like nobody ever tried before practically to give people a chance to come in contact with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Right? And really for us, at least, well, for many of us, as I said, you know, those of us who are like aspiring devotees who aren't empowered necessarily preachers ourselves, that's as much as we could do. You know, it's our duty to try to do that. And in doing that, we've done what we can do. I thought of this, an example. Just like imagine you're a lifeguard at a beach. And, you know, the weather changes, and all of a sudden, like, you know, it kind of looks like a storm's coming, and you can see there's like a big undertow. The, you know, the waves are getting really choppy and rough out there. And all of a sudden, you realize, wow, I got like about, half a dozen people. I got about 50, 60, 70 people out there getting ready to drown. You know, there's an undertow, undercurrent. The waves are really choppy and everything. So you just think, well, what do I do? And you got one of those, like, big rowboats out there that they have sometimes with a, you know, outboard motor on it. So you grab, like, about, you know, a few dozen life preservers, throw them in the rope, throw them in the boat, and you just get out there. You don't have time to save these people. I mean, you're not in a position, considering the circumstances, to actually grab each one of them and pull them right out of the water and bring them right back to shore. All you could do is you just have enough time and enough resources to get out there and just give each one of them the life preserver. You know, and then it's up to them. You know, they have to hang on to that life preserver. If they hang on to that life preserver, they can at least keep from drowning. So, you know, you're not able to actually get them and bring them right back into shore. Ideally, you'd like to do that, but at least you're giving them the life preserver. And if they hang on to that, then the storm might blow over, or a boat might come. The Coast Guard might send a bigger boat and kind of, you know, scoop everybody up, or you might have enough time to go, you know, in the second trip around, go and, you know, bringing people back or whatever, you see. But at least you've done that much. So that's the devotees. You know, if we go out there, we give people the holy name, and we give people prasadam, especially if you give people a book. You know, it's like giving them a life preserver. I mean, especially a book, I think, in that sense, because it's like, once again, it's like they can hold on to it. They got it, you know. And if they hold on to that, at least that'll keep them from drowning, so to speak, you know, completely vanishing into spiritual oblivion. They got something solid. And then it's like, you know, a certain amount of it's up to them. They have to, you know, they have to hang on to that. They have to want to be saved. You know? And if they're that fortunate, then, you know, hopefully they'll come in contact. You know, Krishna will understand their desire, and they'll come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master. They'll come into contact with this, you know, the Krishna conscious movement and like that, and they will be saved. There's that verse, Brahmananda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadevai, Bhakti Lata Beach, that after wandering throughout the universe, that Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, that living entity that's fortunate, Kona Bhagyavan, Bhagyavan means fortunate, Guru Krishna Prasadevai, Bhakti Lata Beach, he comes in contact with, by the mercy of Krishna, he comes in contact with the Guru, and then by the mercy of the Guru, he gets the mercy of Krishna. So, you know, by going out there and doing our Harinams and Prasadam distribution and book distribution, that's the first step. You know, we're being instrumental to Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, you know, in giving these people their chance. You know, it's the first step, you know, towards allowing them to be take advantage of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. See? And so, you know, that's what we have to do. And actually, for our part, simply if we do that, our lives are successful. Because Prabhupada will be pleased. Prabhupada will be pleased by that effort. You know, our attempt to engage the fallen conditioned souls to some extent or another in devotional service. You know, if we really dedicate ourselves to that and really work sincerely to try to do that, Prabhupada will be pleased with our efforts. And yasya prasadad bhagava prasadam, you know, by, if the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. And well, as far as, yeah, anyway, maybe I'll just stop there and see if there's any questions. Any questions? Yeah. I've got a couple more points I can make, but I don't want to run out of time here.
Thank you very much, Bhagavati Guru, for the inspiring and exciting class. You mentioned that we're trying to give everyone a chance to take advantage of this knowledge. What is the symptom of someone who's really taken advantage of it?
They're here, in this room right now. I mean, minimally. Oh, well, no, not exclusively, but, you know, they're doing it. You know, they're chanting Hare Krishna following the regulative principles and trying to be engaged in devotional service. That's the symptoms of somebody who's taking advantage of the opportunity, you know, of this knowledge of the, you know, what Prabhupada came to offer. Were you looking for something else, or that was a pretty simple question? But you know, yeah, another question.
Thank you, Brigapati Prabhu, for your class. I have a question, and forgive me for my ignorance on this, but it's something that has bothered me about organized religion since childhood. And having grown up in the Southeast, where the Bible Belt, you know, and so on and so forth, the idea that our way is the only way is upsetting to me, I guess. And it seems to be more likely to offend and alienate people than draw them in. For example, we've all probably had this experience, something similar to it. We're at our mini Rath Yatra with Prabhupada, the Prabhupada Festival, recently. And there was a young man who was trying to spread Christianity. He was sort of on the outskirts of the festival. And I talked to him briefly. And, you know, it's the familiar line that Christ is the only way. And how is that any different than saying that anybody who doesn't take to Krishna consciousness is an animal? Is it not true that there are many paths to God, and that there are many ways to find God, and this is one excellent one, of course, and one pure one, and one a very high knowledge? But it seems condescending to say that other people who follow their religious path purely are animals.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Good question. Well, I got to admit that I was preaching, but I'm in the mood of I'm preaching to devotees. I'm not. If this was a Sunday feast lecture, and I was trying to lecture on the same verse, I would present this completely differently. You know, I'm preaching to devotees, people who understand this philosophy, who have accepted basically that, yeah, accepted this philosophy, accepted that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, et cetera, et cetera. But if this was a general audience, I would present differently. On your point about, you know, how are we any different from the Bible-bashing Christian, you know, if we're coming on so strongly like this, saying that if people don't accept this are animals and they're just going, you know, lower forms of life, which is true, though. I mean, because, you know, I'm speaking from the Shastra in saying that. So, I mean, as far, you know, for devotees, as far as devotees are concerned, devotees who have accepted the, you know, the conclusions of the Shastra, that we, I mean, I can't back off that and say, well, maybe that's not really the case. That's the facts for us. But if I was presenting this to a general audience, you know, people who weren't already accepting these conclusions, I might say something like this. I remember that I heard this anecdote that at one time Jadarani, whose name now is Shamarani, once asked Prabhupada about Bob Dylan. Was Bob Dylan God conscious? And Prabhupada said, well, according to this, the way I've heard the story, his sincerity is his God consciousness. So in other words, like, you know, Krishna's in the heart. Sometimes it's stated, Baba Grihija Nardin. You know, Krishna is in the heart as a super soul, and he understands the psychic movements, the sentiments of every living entity. So, you know, to the degree that anybody's trying to sincerely turn towards God, take shelter of God, even if it's, you know, done with imperfect knowledge, incomplete knowledge, imperfect knowledge, and you're not even done 100%, you know, properly, okay, they're going to get some benefit because Krishna's a person and he's, you know, he's trying to help everybody. He didn't bring us to the human form of life to, you know, to with the intention of sending us to lower form species of life for, you know, for millions and millions of years, or you know, for setting us up for suffering. You know, it wasn't like a sucker punch or something. I know Krishna's trying to help. So anybody who's attempting to turn towards Krishna, to any, you know, in to any degree of sincerity, to any Krishna is going to reciprocate with that. Mm-hmm. And I'd never present like this, as I said, if this is a general audience. I remember the first class I went to was a Sunday feast lecture. It was actually given by Kirtananda. And one thing I appreciated about his presentation, he actually addressed this exact same point. In one point in the lecture, he said, you know, actually, all the religions, they're all claiming that they're the only one or the best, one or the other, or both. He said, so, you know, if I were to do that here this evening, well, you know, I don't know if I think I'd be doing you all a disservice, but it's actually, we don't do that. Krishna consciousness don't do that. And he quoted this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He quoted that verse, Savai Pum Sampado Dharmo Yato Bhakti Hoksajay Ahoy Tikir Prityataya Yama Supersedati. He said, and the way he translated it was, he said, the Bhagavatam says that religion is first class, which awakens in its followers unmotivated, ecstatic love for God. He said, so the Bhagavatam offers a criterion by which you can judge for yourself. He said, so that's like coming in from a whole different, I mean, we're still pitching that Krishna consciousness is the best and the, you know, superior religious system and philosophy and everything. But, you know, you have to do it with sensitivity to the audience, which I wasn't really trying to do this morning because, as I said, I was just thinking I'm preaching to a room full of devotees who have accepted these conclusions. But, yeah, I mean, I would try to ultimately be making the same point that this is, you know, this is the, but I would do it in a totally a different approach. Just like on book distribution. I mean, I'd never talk anything like this to somebody, somebody who's a total stranger and a total stranger to Krishna consciousness on book distribution. I mean, I could, but I wouldn't sell one book all day. I wouldn't distribute one book all day. So, you know, the objective is the same, to always engage people, get people engaged in devotional service, but depending upon time, place, and circumstance, you have to approach it differently. So, anyway, I hope that is something.
Well, and that is helpful. I appreciate your explaining that more, but I guess I'm still a little bit confused if people are applying themselves with devotion and are achieving love of God, then is that not a valid... I mean,
yeah, it's valid.
I'm not saying that ours isn't the best, because I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that.
It's valid, but I would contest that they actually are achieving love of God. And so did Srila Prabhupada.
You would contest it?
I would contest it. Yeah. Okay. I would contest that. Because, well, you know, for instance, here in Los Angeles, 1973, in Venice Beach, Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he made the statement, the Bible, they were talking about this, that, and the other thing, you know, a group of disciples walking with him. He said, the Bible was written by the saint. This saint, that. It is not what Jesus Christ said. This is quoting Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill. But that they do not do. You know, they're killing. They even killed him, for that matter. So Prabhupada said, but this if we say, we'll be shot. So in those, Prabhupada didn't, you know, in a certain situation, Prabhupada might, you know, he'd say certain things because he didn't want to offend the sensibilities of a predominantly like Christian audience who he's trying to help become more favorable towards Krishna consciousness. But among like an inner circle of devotees, Prabhupada, and within the books, you'll find other statements where Prabhupada tries to, you know, without, Prabhupada just says where it's all at, you know, that these are, you know, a lot of, in the Bhagavatam, the second verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Dharma Prochita Kaitavotara. It's completely rejecting all religious systems which are materially motivated. Kaitavo Dharma means cheating religion, you see? So, you know, we want to help these people. We want to be respectful, and we want to help those people come to Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, in all honesty, we do have a particular evaluation of where their processes in theology and their process of religiosity is at. And it's not a very elevated one. It's not a very exalted, you know, one. But that's okay. You know, we don't want to be like, we're not saying that in the mood to try to be judgmental or that's just according to, you know, evaluating according to the statements of our books. It's not a very elevated theology or system of spiritual life, but that's okay. You know, we've got to call a spade, but at the same time, our desire is there to try to share this knowledge with them and try to help them come to higher levels of spiritual understanding. Does that satisfy you anymore? It's the best I could do. Archie wants to say something, so I'll let him. No? Okay, that's enough. Oh, we got one more over there, and then we'll stop. Thank you.
a sense of what religion is the best. It's more of a sense of the fastest path to get out of the material world. And like Prabhupada said, you can call a thief a thief. So if this process is the fastest way to get out the material world, why isn't everyone accepting it? It's not about which one is the best. And also, I just wanted to talk about, or just make a little comment on the whole Christianity, us calling them animals thing, or everyone with two legs who's not following Krishna consciousness as an animal. I mean, what makes you any different? I mean, having faith and believing are two good qualities, but I mean, if you're not surrendering to Krishna, if it's not in service to Krishna, then what are you doing? Period. I think that, I mean.
I'm not sure I caught your point, but I think kind of like we've run out of time and everybody's patient, so we'll stop there and I could continue talking with everybody afterwards. Okay, thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.